We're going to get back to our broadcast partners right now as we go to Hebron, Israel. Hebron is the oldest Jewish community in the history of the world, dating back about 4,000 years ago to the time of Abraham when he established this first Jewish community. A lot of things happening, and the man who we talked to there in Hebron is the spokesperson for the Jewish community there, David Wilder. David, lots of things happening. I want to talk to you about the European Union sanctions and then talk about what John Kerry, Secretary of State, is saying for the opportunity to restart the peace talks, and will this go along with what the Jewish settlers are thinking. But first, let me find out from you, and I got a message from you, David. Thank you so much for sending those reports out. You're talking about the second holiest site in all of the world. Now, we're talking about Machpelah Cave, burial site for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, their wives, the patriarchs, are buried there in Hebron. And as I understand it, there is now going to be a terrorist in charge of this holy site in Hebron. Talk to me about that. What does it mean?
Well, on May 2nd, 1980, there was a terrorist attack here in Hebron. As a matter of fact, that attack took place right where I am right now, in a building called Beit Hadassah, the Hadassah House. A group of men had just come from the Tomb of the Patriarchs after their Sabbath prayers. They were coming down the road, and a group of four terrorists opened fire on them, started shooting and throwing hand grenades at them, and as a result of that, six men were killed. The leader of that gang is an Arab named Abu Snena, Taysir Abu Snena, and he was put in jail and at some point released, one of the prisoner exchanges. And today he is in charge of the Waqf, a Muslim religious trust here in Hebron, and he has control of the Tomb of the Patriarchs for the Arabs, for the Waqf. And we are very, very, very upset about this.
Is there anything that the Jewish community, somewhere in the area of about 800 souls that live in Hebron, is there anything that that community can do to change who has the leadership of this holy site?
Well, we are, first of all, the site is supposed to be under the rule of the State of Israel. So the site is under the control of the State of Israel and the Israeli security forces. However, they have given the Waqf, the Muslim Religious Trust, a lot of authority and responsibility there. And we think the first thing that should happen is that responsibility and that authority should be taken away from them. There's no reason why a group that appoints a murdering terrorist, not only is he a murderer, but he's still proud of what he did. His Facebook page, his profile cover on that Facebook page has a picture of him with his three other companions who shot and killed the Jews here in Hebron. So it's not like he repented and he's sorry about it. He's still proud of it, and he shows that. And a person like this should not have any authority, and a group that appoints him should also have no authority. We're working with various political groups and people to try to put pressure on the defense ministry to have, for sure, to have him removed, and also very possibly to have to remove some of the authority the Waqf today has in this holy site.
You know, it's interesting to me, the second holiest site, the Machpelah Cave there in Hebron, burial site for the patriarchs and their wives, is controlled by the Islamic peoples. And also the most sacred spot, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, the same situation. Quite ironic. Well, talk to me about what Catherine Ashton has put in place. Catherine Ashton is the chief of foreign policy for the European Union, and they have put sanctions on Israeli Jewish settlements. In other words, they're telling the Israeli government at the UN headquarters, we're not going to deal with Israel in any way should they have a connection to the Jewish settlements. I mean, this is not smart.
Well, look, I'll tell you very clearly what I believe is happening. First of all, it should be understood that we're dealing with about 700,000 people. We're dealing with somewhere in the vicinity of 400,000 people that today live in Judea and Samaria. We're dealing with probably close, somewhere between 200,000 and 250,000 people that live in Jerusalem. And we're in the neighborhoods around Jerusalem, in Gilo and Ramot, and in East Jerusalem, and we're dealing with people that live in the Jordan Valley, where these people live in the Golan Heights. We're dealing with between 700,000 to 800,000 people who they're saying are illegal. And it's very clear to me that what's happening is the Europeans have been known for their anti-Semitism, and today they dress up their anti-Semitism in the clothing of being anti-Israel and of being anti-people like myself and hundreds of thousands of others. And this is just totally absurd. The Europeans did absolutely nothing when the Jews were being sent to Auschwitz 70 years ago. We came back home. We left Europe and we came to live in our country. And now we're being told we can't live here either. And this is something that they're getting involved in is in internal Israeli policies, in internal Israeli affairs. And I think that the state of Israel just has to tell them where to go and what to do with it. And we have to continue our lives as we understand it. We have to make our decisions here. And these kind of policies that are being now implemented by the European Union are just it's so clear that it's so deeply anti-Semitic. People have to wake up and understand what's going on.
Well, one final thing with you, David. John Kerry, Secretary of State, has been 6 times into Israel. He basically was this last trip over there in Amman, Jordan, talking with Mahmoud Abbas, who is the president of the Palestinian Authority. They're trying to restart the peace talks between the Israelis and the Palestinians, but the Palestinians are demanding they have to have borders, pre-1967 borders, and there is some word that the prime minister may go along with this. What are your thoughts about this?
I'll tell you, Jimmy, I'm in favor of the 67 borders because 67... we're talking about a few years before the destruction of the Second Temple. And then, you know, the Israel covered a tremendous amount of area, including Judea and Samaria. And I think that those are the borders that we should keep. So my 67 borders, of course, very different from those of Netanyahu and of, and some of the others. But we have to stay where we are. We're not going any place. This is our home. Netanyahu is not going to be able to negotiate for these borders that they're suggesting. It's preposterous. His own Likud party won't let him do that. His coalition will fall apart. And, of course, any kind of negotiation is based upon give and take. And the Arabs are demanding that the conclusions be reached before any talks begin. And we know exactly what they want. They're not going to get it. The people of Israel are not going to allow this to happen. There are different rumors about what Netanyahu has agreed to and what he hasn't agreed to, but it's not going to happen.
Well, we're going to have to explain to our listeners, eavesdropping on the conversation. David's talked about 67 A.D. before the destruction of the temple in 70 A.D., not 1967. Well, I would agree with those borders myself, David. But your statement, the Jewish settlers are not going anywhere, are they?
No, we're at home. And look, you know, we're talking about taking the state of Israel and condensing it. First of all, this is our God-given land. That's number one. And the second point is that today when we're dealing with security, we've seen what happens when we give our land away. We're just now marking 8 years since Gaza was abandoned, since people from the area in Gush Katif down there were expelled from their homes. Since then, they've shot 13,000 rockets into Israel. And next week, we're going to mark the 84th anniversary of the slaughter here in Hebron, 1929, when 67 Jews were murdered because the Jews here then thought they could trust the Arabs. When we put our lives in the hands of somebody else, the only thing we get back are dead people. And we're not going to do it again. The people here are starting to wake up, and it's time that that people start to realize that. I personally believe that this whole idea of a two-state solution is off the board. Everybody understands that it's a dead issue. It's not going to happen. And we have to start to look for other alternatives. We can't keep regurgitating these same ideas that are just they're non-starters.
David, thank you so very much for giving us insight into some of the situations happening in the Middle East right now. Appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Jimmy. Shalom, shalom.